One of the best things about my college experience at Penn State was the vibrant Catholic community there. We had 4 weekend masses. We had daily mass held right on campus at the Pascavilla Spiritual Center and a lot of other just great events to grow in your faith. And we had 3 Benedictine monks from St. Vincent's Archabbey who served in campus ministry. And you never knew which one of them was going to have the masses on the weekend. So before each mass started, the lector would welcome everyone and then announce, the celebrant today is Father Matthew, or the celebrant today is Father Boniface, or the celebrant today is Father David. And it definitely helped our students and visitors get to know the priests and who's who. But to be honest, as I learned more about worship, I began to like that announcement less and less. Why? It has to do with the word celebrant. You see, if you read how the church speaks about her own liturgical worship, there are actually many celebrants who celebrate at every liturgy. In fact, some of them are on earth, like us all here, and some of them are in heaven. In fact, before the Catechism of the Catholic Church even mentions who celebrates the sacramental liturgy here below on earth, it first talks about and even lists those who celebrate the heavenly liturgy there above. It says, behold, those who take part in the service of the praise of God and the fulfillment of his plan, the heavenly powers, all creation, the 24 elders of the Old and New Covenants, the 144,000 called the new people of God, the martyrs slain for the word of God, the all-holy Mother of God, the Bride of the Lamb, and finally, a great multitude which no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues. All of those are listed in the book of Revelation, and they are described as the celebrants of the heavenly liturgy, immersed in the worship and joy of God. The Catechism then goes on to say that it is in this eternal liturgy that the Spirit and the Church enable us to participate whenever we celebrate the mystery of salvation in the sacraments. So it's saying that when we celebrate the liturgy through sacramental signs on earth, like we're doing tonight, we are joining the eternal liturgy of heaven. Here on earth, there are also many celebrants of the liturgy, the bishops, the priests, the deacons, and the entire community of the baptized, that's you, who are now called a royal priesthood and a holy nation. It's not just the presider who sits in the big chair who is the celebrant and who celebrates. It is the entire Christian people of heaven and earth. You and I who make up the mystical body of Christ, joined to Jesus, who is Christ, head of the body. Christ is the head of the body, and we are his members. We are one living being, one living organism, one existence to the praise and glory of the Father, joined in love. That's who we are now. The church expressly teaches that when we worship together, especially at the Eucharist, in obedience to the Lord's command to do this in memory of me, it is actually the whole Christ who worships. The whole Christ, the total Christ, Christ head and members who celebrate. Because by your baptism, you are one with Christ, you are in Christ, and you share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. The total Christ is the one who worships the Father by offering his total self in the gift of the Holy Spirit. So going back to Penn State and that lecture before Mass, it might have been a little bit more accurate if he would have said, good morning, our celebrant today is Jesus Christ, his head and members. But that might not have flown over so hot with some of the new students, new visitors, and maybe some scratching of heads there. But you get the point. And I think sometimes it's good to actually shake things up a little bit with some humor and kind of poke at what we think is normal so we actually can go more deep in our faith. Like if someone asks you in a few weeks from now, like, so who said Mass at St. Rose today? Who celebrated Mass? Well, I did. You did? Yeah, I did. Or who offered the Eucharist at your parish on Sunday? Well, it was all of us, like all the time. Or does your church have one or two priests? It's more like 500. What? Friends, never forget your noble calling. That as St. Peter says in his first letter, you are a priestly people and you offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. He accepts you. He accepts your sacrifice. He receives and celebrates with you because you are joined to Jesus' holy priesthood. Tonight, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember this great gift of being baptized as a priestly people. And we also celebrate that to serve that baptized priestly people, Christ instituted the sacrament of holy orders. He chose some members of the mystical body of Christ, for a special service. Christ chooses certain men to be ordained to the ministerial priesthood so they can serve the baptismal priesthood that we all share, the priesthood of all believers. Ordained priests are configured to Christ the head. They preside over the sacred rites, and they shepherd God's people through the priestly office. In one sense, we who are ordained priests, and I renewed my promises this morning at the cathedral, we are ordained priests, and our priesthood is to help and serve your priesthood, the one total Christ. And truly, Jesus does come and bless his people in a particular way through those who are ordained. Last weekend was Palm Sunday, and someone said that her 4-year-old daughter said, Mom, wave your palms at Father, because it's Jesus through him. And she's right. It's true. The Second Vatican Council taught that Christ is present in liturgy through the ordained minister in a particular way, as well as in the Word and in the Eucharist and in the assembled body of believers. Deacon Brent is with us for one last triduum here at St. Rose of Lima. He'll be ordained a priest in the cathedral in 58 days. And we're so eager to celebrate the gift of God that will soon be imparted to him and to welcome him into the presbyterate of our archdiocese. I myself am celebrating 10 years of ordination this May 31st, and they've been the most beautiful 10 years of my life. For myself and for future Father Brent, our greatest joy is living as living icons of Christ, who are entrusted with the power to consecrate the gifts of God's people into the body and blood of Christ, and then to feed the church, the bride, with Christ's very self. This is an incredible gift and calling, for sure, but we never forget that we are ordinary men. Deacon Brent and I are made of the same humanity and the same stuff as you all here. And since no disciple is greater than the master, we must day by day humble ourselves to wash the feet of the disciples like our Lord. We remember that we did not choose this ministry for ourselves. We were only called to it by Christ. I'm so grateful this evening that my parents, Mario and Sandra, are here with us visiting from Pennsylvania for our Triduum and for Easter. It's the first time we've actually celebrated these mysteries ever since I've been a priest. They've come out to visit, but never during these holy days. And I'm so blessed to have you here, Mom and Dad. It's such a great gift. And my parents know very well the truth of what I just said, that it is Christ who calls those into his service. And all three of us know that my calling was a great shock to all of us coming out of left field. You know, over the years, many people have congratulated them on my vocation. And to their credit, they have not always known how to respond to that. because they know that it wasn't from them. If you say to them, you must be so proud that your son is a priest, they actually get a little bit shy, because while they strove to be the best parents they could to all their children, they know it's Christ who has called me to be his priest. And some days when I stand at the altar, I do have to mentally pinch myself. Like, is this actually my life? Is this actually all true? Is this actually all real that Lord, you have chosen me to stand here to serve your people, to be surrounded by angels and saints among us, to feed your people with you, Jesus Christ, to love and to serve you here. It's a beautiful, mysterious, and holy call, but on this Holy Thursday, I'm more thankful than ever that he has called me to be his priest. I want to conclude, brothers and sisters, by asking when the last time is that we have pinched ourselves in amazement that Christ has called all of us to be at this altar, that all of us are celebrants of the sacred liturgy, not passive recipients, not spectators, not bystanders. But the truth is that all of us, whether priest or lay, have been called by Christ to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. This is true. This is real. We are surrounded by angels and saints. We are being immersed in the joy and glory of our Heavenly Father as a foretaste on earth. We've been reborn by our baptism, and now we are on the threshold of heavenly courts, being filled with light, grace, and glory, even while on earth. And as beloved sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, we have an inheritance. We have a pledge and a promise that's been given to us. And that inheritance is everlasting joy. No one can take that from you. No one can steal that from you. No one can take that away. It's your inheritance in Jesus. Yes, we are flesh and blood. We are redeemed sinners. And none of us had the power to obtain this gift on our own. Christ won it for us. He bought it for us. He earned it by his saving death and resurrection. And one day, God, who we worship through sacraments on earth, we will one day worship face to face in the heavenly Jerusalem. So tonight, let us believe this anew. Let us claim this truth. Let us live this way as we commemorate the Lord's Supper and the mystery that Jesus, in his body and blood, is the one who leads us to celebrate the mystery of his love.